Tuesday, the Gauteng High Court ruled in favour of Reino De Beer and the organisation Liberty Fighters Network, declaring the regulations for COVID-19 lockdown levels 4 and 3 as invalid and unconstitutional. However, the court has suspended the declaration of invalidity for a period of 14 days. This means that the alert level 3 regulations remain in operation for now. Joining us to chat more about this is Imran Abdullah. He's dispute resolution associate at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Imran, good evening and thank you for your time.
Good evening to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So I presume the implications upon us as civil society is that nothing really changes because the lockdown level 3 regulations remain valid for a period of 14 days.
Yes, that is true. And you'd also probably be aware that today Minister in the Presidency, Jackson Zembu, indicated that government is planning to appeal against the decision. So it looks like the regulations will be with us for a while.
Have you had a chance to read the judgment, Imran?
I have.
And what are your thoughts on the judgment? Because Thuli Madonsela, for example, was quoted in the media saying that she'd be surprised if the judgment doesn't come under scrutiny at a higher court, saying that it was a good judgment but lacked clarity.
I tend to agree with her. I mean, there's a lot of points in the judgment that can come under critical scrutiny or some sort of criticism. But, I mean, you have to balance that out with the fact that it was an urgent application and and judges under urgent court don't have the time to particularly spend months and months to write a judgment. But that being said, obviously the criticisms against what is actually put out can be justified. But we mustn't forget that the judgment itself also has some important points within it that will stand up to scrutiny on appeal.
Can you alert us to some of those crucial points, Imran?
Well, the main thing is that would be government would have a difficult time to get over the hurdle of irrationality with respect to at least some of the regulations and some of the regulations that the judge himself spoke about, where he gave examples. Those would be very difficult, I imagine, on appeal to get over the irrationality point.
Are we referring to something like the ban on tobacco sales, for example?
No, in this judgment, the judge was clear that he will not touch that point, and he excised it out of his order and his judgment body because of the pending litigation by FITA and I think the British American Tobacco litigation that's recently been launched.
That's correct, yes. I did wonder about the implications of that because it was almost timing-wise very close to each other that the presses had alerted everyone that BAT had instituted legal action, and then I think it was just a matter of hours or the next day when the judgment came through. Okay, so that wasn't part of this judgment. What else was picked on in terms of the irrationality, Imran?
Well, things like, for example, you're in Cape Town running or jogging or walking on the promenade and then stepping foot onto the beach, and all of a sudden that's now unlawful. I mean, that doesn't seem to have any rational link to the purpose of stopping the spread of the virus. So those sort of arguments, it will be difficult for an appeal court to, or for government to get over it on appeal.
The regulations then must clearly a tangible link to curbing the spread of COVID-19. Otherwise, it can be argued that it's potentially irrational.
Yeah, and I mean, also, the judgment does also reaffirm the fact that we are a constitutional democracy. When government does issue or promulgate some sort of law that limits a person's rights, that they must take into consideration the Constitution and the limitation itself and try and find a lesser means of achieving the same purpose. And so those two points, the one on the certain clear irrationality with respect to certain regulations, and the fact that we are a constitutional democracy will I think stand up to scrutiny on appeal. Mm-hmm. What the academics like Advocate Madonsela are pointing out is the fact that he didn't have time, he didn't address each and every regulation and specify how each and every one of them was irrational or rational. And so I'm sure the complaint is that it is almost like an abstract review. But that being said, our courts have heard abstract reviews before, and declarations of invalidity have emanated from them. So, I mean, criticism aside, we will just have to see what happens.
Yeah, and what are the consequences? Say, for example, the appeal is turned down. What happens to those individuals, for example, who have been arrested and have been issued fines as a result of those regulations that were deemed irrational?
Okay, so that's sort of a separate issue. So ordinarily, our courts, the Constitutional Court, in a number of judgments have confirmed that when a declaration of invalidity is ordered or given by a court, then retrospectivity and the judge himself is silent on retrospectivity, then retrospectivity applies automatically. That is the default position in law, that a declaration of invalidity will have retrospective effect, unless that retrospective effect is specifically addressed by the judge. There are other ways in which retrospectivity can be addressed, and some judgments have said that If the order is suspended, then you can glean from that retrospectivity may not apply. But those are to be determined, I suppose, by the appeal court, because I'm sure government would also want clarity on retrospectivity, and they would in their appeal also consider that.
Jackson Mtembo earlier mentioned that they would be appealing the case. They also mentioned as a result of the cabinet discussions earlier that the national state of disaster would also be further extended. Are there any implications that we should be aware of with that extension, Imran?
No. If you look at the act itself, I mean, the minister is entitled to gazette an extension. I think importantly for us, or for those who would be keen on a challenge of some sort, is that the extension itself, the decision to extend is a separate administrative action that must withstand the scrutiny of being a lawful administrative action in and of itself. So I think that's probably the only implication that matters.
Okay.
And obviously that we are now still under a national state of disaster.
Yeah, under a national state of disaster. The government, I would imagine, would want this appeal to be heard speedily. Would this happen soon, do you think?
From a practicalities point of view, I mean, it's not likely, because they would have to apply for leave to appeal from Judge Davis, and Judge Davis would have to give an indication of whether he grants leave. If he grants leave, then they can proceed to a full court or to the Supreme Court of Appeal. And if he doesn't grant leave, then they would have to petition the Supreme Court of Appeal. All of these processes have some sort of time prescriptions under the rules or statute in question. And so it's not necessarily that an appeal will be heard anytime soon. So from a strategic point of view, I'm not sure the reasons for the appeal, but I mean, just from a strategic point of view, if you're given 14 days to amend these regulations and you're not sure, because the judgment itself doesn't give an indication of which ones, like Advocate Madonsela and her contemporaries have said, that it just says that they're all irrational. Mm. So if you're the government and you've been given 14 days to fix this, then I think strategically it makes sense to try and appeal because the appeal, as you know, would suspend the order of Judge Davis itself.
The reworking of the regulations then becomes moot, does it?
Well, by the time an appeal is heard, it could be moot, because we may be in level one, or we may be out of the national state of disaster. So that's always a risk that the point on appeal becomes moot. But
So for now, the COCTA minister then has to get busy and rework these regulations then, Imran?
Well, until they actually file the application for leave to appeal, the judgment of Judge Davis stands, and the clock is ticking, the 14 days is ticking. I assume they are going to apply before the 14 days expires, but if they don't, then they would have to account for why they didn't comply with the 14-day period.
Yeah, but from the sounds of what was discussed this afternoon, I think they're going to do it quite speedily, I think.
Yeah, that seems to be the indication.
Okay, so we just have to wait and see how all of this unfolds then, Imran.
Yeah, unfortunately, the country's in a state of flux, and so too is certain laws with respect to the lockdown. Things change so rapidly. I mean, the situation is so fluid. There's always a new direction, there's always a new regulation. So we just have to wait and see what happens. But currently we're on level 3, and if the judgment is appealed against, we will likely continue on level 3 until a decision is heard by the appellate court, or we move down to level 2 or 1.
Imran Abdullah, Dispute Resolution Associate at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Imran, appreciate your time and your insights on this matter. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me again.